Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 273. I'm Josiah Sapp for The Villain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram. What's up, guys? It's been a while. My voice is back, so I'm back. I have a lot of things to go through, so let's hit it. I'm probably going to piss off a lot of people this episode. All right, what we hit 100 episodes ago, episode 173, we entitled hashtag Another Round. At Mem the Beaner and at For the Villain Play Catch Up, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, NFL Football Talk Playoffs Breakdown, then go into What the Fuck News. Woman drives into river to avoid cops, boozes as car floats. That sounds like the best first date ever. That would be fucking dope. Minus the cop thing, but you know, stories happen. Man stole work tools, then accidentally called boss. Idiot of the week, I guess. That was a year ago. Every time we talk about 100 episodes ago, it constitutes to about 2 years ago, roughly, guys. Interesting news. Norway is the first country to kill FM radio. How analog and digital radio works then roll. And that, by the way, was just a great article. I like finding weird and gnarly articles, thought-provoking articles. Like, that's always been my big thing about the show. And because I do specifically the podcast, I still have love for terrestrial radio and, you know, the sound and quality and interviews and hanging out with people where I'm able to dissect certain broadcasts. And like news broadcasts, it's just one of those fascinations I have, hence why I'm probably doing what I do right now. We hit Comic Talk, Comic News, Ben Affleck's The Batman, not a for sure thing. So we do know, this is 2 years ago, 100 episodes ago, that there was talks there was going to be The Batman movie. Ben Affleck, by now we all know, and Robert Pattinson is in. We're going to go to that in Comic Talk shortly. We hit New Mutants to feature McAvoy's Professor X, which New Mutants has been pushed. I want to see this movie. It's lost in limbo right now. It's a bunch of X characters, X-Men-centric characters, a bunch of characters a lot of people don't know that I grew up with. The movie has been made straight up, but with the Fox acquisition that did happen by Disney, we don't know where it's going to go or what's going to happen. We hit Disney Ends 2016 with $3 billion at domestic box office. Fuck, man. We hit Star Wars talk and news, then finally rock some comic reviews. Earth's Mightiest Heroes, Avengers number 1, Unworthy Thor number 2, Civil War 2 number 8, Infamous Iron Man number 1. I really was enjoying that one because that was Dr. Doom taking the mantle as Iron Man, which he did a great job after Secret Wars. And we hit Unworthy Thor number 3, and that's Thor Odin's son without the hammer, Mjolnir, because he's unworthy, hence the Unworthy Thor. Great runs, and I believe that was still Jason Aaron writing it at the time. All right, guys, it's been a while since I've done this. I'm going to play catch-up with you guys real quick. So, I recorded a filler episode to take off and finally enjoyed the weekend of my birthday. Today is November 5th. The weekend of my birthday was October 17th, that weekend, that Thursday weekend. The week following after that, a week later, the 23rd, it was just the circumstances that affect me recording came into play in a big way. That's why I always like recording filler episodes because I always want to have content and I want to drop something weekly. And if I'm unable to drop something weekly, I don't know, and finding news and everything to talk about, it's almost irrelevant by that point in a weird way. But yeah, that's pretty much what it is. This is what still happened. So I was unable to find the time just to record, have the place to record, having everything on lockdown to the point where it's like checking sound qualities. And it was just a rough week that weekend of the 23rd. So I bailed. Last week, straight up, I lost my voice. So the fires out here in Southern California, the dry air, the sand and the winds that are blowing, that were blowing fucking hard that week, and staying up late at the office for Halloween and putting our Halloween decor together, working the second job, stuck in the box, literally just losing my voice, to start off the Halloween work week, to dress up as the Wolfman, and Halloween night was last Thursday for the most part. So to dress up as the Wolfman, to get little sleep, to work on my makeup, to do everything in a weird way, solo-ish, but to wake up and still have to work. How could you live? Not even there. Do all my makeup, do everything, get to work, and literally howl. Ow! All fucking day at the office for people, because everyone would walk by my fucking cubicle and everyone's like, dude, can you do that again? And everyone loved our getup. It was a freak show circus. And each person's cubicle, they were able to decorate the way they wanted, but each of us had a specific character we got to choose. Of course, I'm going to choose the Wolfman. It was very easy for me to pull off. I'm a furry dude, minus the makeup. The makeup thing is not my world. Why do you women do that to yourselves? Like, why do you do it to yourselves? I don't understand. It's a long fucking process, and I'm not an artist by any imagination of the word, not an artist. Like a musician, perhaps. I'm a writer, perhaps. That doesn't make me an artist. So to paint my own face with makeup and foundation and shit like that, it worked. I got a lot of compliments. I felt very self-cautious about myself, how well I did. But the effect went through, and my paw hands and my tail and the way I chained my hands up and got into it. Granted, at the office, without a voice. Like, I'm literally losing my voice at the office. And all day long, I'm howling for people, like, tossing my chains, pumping my fists on the ground. Like, ow! Like, I'm fucking shackled. I get into my role for Halloween, but I love fucking Halloween. Till the day I die, I'm still gonna fucking dress up. Like, that's just me. Like, I'm never gonna lose that aspect or fun side of Halloween. So, that's that. If you guys want to see pictures, go to Josiah's, go to Instagram at comic_syndicate, and you guys are free to look at those. And if you guys want tips and do-it-yourself tips, like, please tell me. It's one of those costumes where I really would like to try and would love to try again now that I know what I'm doing. I know I can hit the next one out of the park. And, it's just something I definitely need to revisit. Okay, so that's Halloween last week at the office. I had to wipe off the paint eventually because I had to work that day, the second job, and I was working box. And the box office was really fucking freezing. We had the AC on blast. I don't think we were shorthanded. I believe we were shorthanded. And the cold air with the winds that night, it just fucked me up. And howling, literally, at the office all day long, I lost my voice even more so. So last week, I actually did somewhat have an opportunity to record. And once I got behind the mic, I'm like, I sound terrible. Like, there's no way I can pull this off. So just a second job, the overexerting my vocal cords was just rough, to say the least. Sadly, I don't like to admit it, although I do hate the sound of my voice naturally like this. I really need it for this job. Granted, I can talk to people if I'm sick, if I'm losing my voice, that's fine. But if you guys are listening to me in your car, at work, on your headphones, hopefully you guys aren't amplifying me somewhere so a lot of people can hear me, although that would be pretty fucking rad. If you guys, as a group of people, can fucking do it. If you guys are playing video games, like again, if I'm stuck in your head, I sound terrible already, so just want to be extra clear for you guys. And that's pretty much what it is. I need my voice for this job, sadly. So I couldn't record myself as bad as I got last week, although I kind of finally did have the time, and I think it was on Monday. And this is on top of me staying late at the office, literally putting this set piece together. So it was all of us. It was a team effort. I mean, I can pinpoint like a handful, two handfuls of people that didn't do a damn thing, but everyone that put in work, put in fucking work. So good job to you guys. We won as a team, a best group theme, I guess, so that's kind of cool. So anyways, all of this happened. Basically led me to bail on the month of October spooky store month talk. Now, that's one of those big things that I love doing. So this is still part of the catch-up, guys. So I had recorded, I interviewed the cast of Batman Beyond at San Diego Comic Con. I put it out that week. I believe it's called Rookie Move, the filler episode. And it dropped last week. And I knew I wanted to hold on to that interview specifically for the month of October for the launch of the Blu-ray DVD. Like, I'm very weird in the way I work. And it's like, why put it out during the summer, right after San Diego Comic Con, when it could be a reminder to people like, holy shit, this is coming out. Like, this is something I watched. This is something I enjoyed. This is what I'm getting my kid into. And wow, the DVD is out, was my thought process. So that's still part of it. On top of that, losing my voice, I let it play 1 week longer. And I let it ride one more time last week. So 3 weeks, I want to say I haven't recorded, sadly, because I feel the withdrawals. Trust me, I feel the withdrawals. But even so, with all of that, I still feel good, because the content I had out was the Batman Beyond 20th anniversary interview. I mean, we got Will Friedle, who does the voice of Terry McGinnis, so Batman Beyond, and Kevin Conroy, guy I got to interview, and these guys are sitting right next to me, and very cool people, very good interview, especially if you grew up with it like I did, or know the history like I did. 20 years is a long time ago. My demographic, it ranges all the time, and it varies all the time, all across the board, which is cool and odd. But I figured for 3 weeks, might as well let this one ride. And you gotta get better, Josiah. Like, you're busy as fuck, and you're spending time, your office hours, when you normally record, you're building these fucking sets, and you're still busy the weekend, and you don't have time. And honestly, you lost your voice, homie. So that's pretty much what that was. I let it ride. Next year, I'm definitely going to have scary story, spooky story talk. So don't mind me on that. All right, guys, you guys are just about caught up. End of the year podcast, best of the year podcast is about 8 weeks out now after tonight. This is 11/5, so November 5th today. And I'm going to definitely write some and put out some filler episodes, but it's a long process to put the end of the year one together. It's a lot of work. It's going to put me about either the day before Christmas or the day before New Year's. And I don't quite know when I want to release that one. But even in saying that, that means I have a lot of work to do, because I have to compile all my lists together, acts, everything, and still put out a show and do it way prior to that. And I know what I'm going to talk about. Like, I have everything together. It's just finding a day to do it. It is a lot of work. And those ones in particular, I hit Comic Talk. We hit Books of the Year. We hit Event of the Year. Most Consistent Book of the Year. Best New Comic of the Year. Most Underrated Book of the Year. Arc of the Year. Shitty Book of the Year. Best Duo Year of the Year. Artist Writer. Cover of the Year. And Book of the Year Single Title. So just because I've had a lot of things going on doesn't mean I'm not prepared for that. It's just finding the time to do it. All right, guys. You guys are completely caught up now with my life. I do sound a lot better, which means I still sound terrible. But here we go. Let's hit some comic news real quick. First bit of news is going to be He-Man. Sony's Master of the Universe could go straight to Netflix. This is a movie that's been in development for over a decade now. So Sony may be looking to sell its planned Masters of the Universe reboot to Netflix. So it's, according to THR, Sony is currently weighing whether or not to find a studio or financier to help with the cost of the project or sell it to Netflix. The odd thing about that is Kevin Smith is working on an animated He-Man Masters of the Universe cartoon show, which I believe is going to be launched in 2021. So it's one of those things that's been in limbo for the longest time. So if you guys saw the 80s version of that, the Dolph Lundgren, it was good for a kid at the time, but they try to make it very time sensitive. So he traveled. It was weird. Okay, it didn't hold up at all. I'm not going to bullshit you guys. But I love He-Man, so kind of curious what they do with that. If you are a Game of Thrones fan, though, HBO pulls the plug on Naomi Watts-led prequel. So HBO's planned Game of Thrones prequel starring Naomi Watts, well, is no longer moving forward according to Deadline. So even though that movie, that in particular show has got pulled, I believe they're still going to do like 20 of the prequel spinoffs besides that. It was just this one in particular they pulled. The Matrix 4 adds Neil Patrick Harris. Warner Brothers and Lana Wachowski's The Matrix 4 has cast Neil Patrick Harris in an undisclosed role. First of all, how do we feel about The Matrix? Like, I bailed after part two. I love Keanu Reeves. Yes, the effects they used was groundbreaking at the time. The story was so convoluted, though, I bailed. And I'm like, I just don't give a fuck about this world anymore. But how do you guys feel about it? Speaking of worlds we care and don't care about, Terminator Dark Fate wins the weekend box office, but still bombs. So winning the weekend of this past weekend, Terminator Dark Fate opened to a $29 million domestic opening, and they made the movie for about $185 million. So that movie has to do a lot of work to make up that money. Because of that, though, there probably will not be a sequel. I love the world of Terminator, but how much do I love it if I didn't even watch it opening weekend? Next news is going to be Keanu Reeves has been approached, and I love Keanu Reeves, just said that, has been approached about joining the Fast and Furious franchise. This is another franchise I don't care for. Like, the plot is terrible, the actors are all terrible, the action sequences are good, the cars are beautiful, I'll give them that. The car chase scenes are good, the acting is terrible, writing terrible, act, everything, I just don't care. I just don't want my boy to do it, but it's a paycheck for Keanu, so if he wants to do it, that's just interesting. Speaking of the Fast world, this one is kind of weird and somewhat intriguing to me. Vin Diesel's Bloodshot movie gets its first trailer. Bloodshot is a Valiant publishing, comic publishing company title. So The Eternal Warriors, one of them, Ronin, a lot of these characters, that obscure characters that a lot of people don't know, they're going to create their own world, their own universe, movie universe. And this trailer, I hate Vin Diesel and everything he does. I mean, I Am Groot's probably the only thing I really like him in as that. And he only has the simplest role ever, just to say three words in different sequences and the way they sound, inflections. And besides that, I just hate his guts. But this movie, like, I know the character. My brother Moses was a fan, so I read those Valiant titles, and they're good. And the trailer, honestly, is intriguing to me. All right, I normally hit DC news by this point. I'm going to go straight to Marvel. So let's hit Marvel Disney. Disney Star Tour gets a Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker makeover. Disney Star Tours have taken fans all over the Star Wars universe for decades, and the attraction will soon be updated to add destinations seen in the upcoming Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker. That's coming out December 20th, and by that point, they should have the ride updated for that as well. All right, we got to hold on to that news because we've got a lot of stuff to go through there. Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker final trailer came out Monday 10/21. I did not record. How do you guys feel about it? I'm amped. I'm a Star Wars fan. I'm a Sith fan all day long. I'm curious as fuck about it. I love these movies. I love this world. I grew up on this world just like a lot of people did. I love J.J. Abrams directing, and I trust him. And Rian Johnson did a great job at fucking up all the toys he fixed in a weird way, but we're going to see what this one, I already have my tickets for this weekend. I can't wait. The company is going to be great, and I'm jazzed. Next one's going to be Star Wars Game of Thrones creators depart from planned film trilogy. So David Benioff and D.B. Weiss, the creators of HBO's Game of Thrones, have walked away from their deal to produce a new Star Wars trilogy for Lucasfilm. They were signed on by Kathleen Kennedy, I believe, in charge of the Star Wars universe movie cinematic, and they're too busy. I don't know. It sounds like they were let go, but I don't know what it was. Like, the last season of Game of Thrones, I think a lot of their fans were pissed off, and I heard backlash so much. Game of Thrones wasn't my fucking thing. I saw the last episode. It sucked, and I wasn't even a fan, but I don't know if that's good or bad for me to say. So anyways, those cats are off. Maybe it's a good thing. Still on Marvel, Disney, Venom 2 adds second Spider-Man villain alongside Carnage. New report states another major Spider-Man villain is slated to join Carnage in Tom Hardy's Venom 2. And it's the character is going to be Shriek, and that's another character as well. It's Sony behind it. You guys know how I feel about Sony. Yes, Sony and Disney did work out another deal, so Spider-Man, Peter Parker, can hang out in the MCU a little bit longer. The Venom movie was not a good movie. Like, there's no way around it. Like, the Venom scenes were great. The Tom Hardy, great actor. Damn it, he did not know who Eddie Brock was, and he did no homework or research for the role of Eddie Brock. If anyone likes the movie, please fucking hit me up. I'm at For the Villain on Twitter. I'm at comic_syndicate on Instagram. And please fight me on why you think it's a good movie, because I would love to hear your thoughts and opinions on that. Because I have a movie that I'm going to bash really hard soon. All right, we have... Next one is going to be Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse announces the sequel release date. This one came out a few days ago over the weekend, and the release for the sequel to Sony's critically acclaimed Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse film is on the way, and it's going to come out April the 8th, 2022. It sounds like a long wait, yes, but the animation style, especially for this project, I told everyone, watch it cinematically in the theater. Like, it's a great DVD, it's a great fucking Netflix movie, but it's a beautiful cinematic experience. Yeah, I'm going to be there for that one. Next one's going to be still on Marvel Studios. Marvel Studios' Kevin Feige expands role, becomes Chief Creative Officer. So Marvel Studios' president Kevin Feige has added Chief Creative Officer to his title and will now oversee all creative personnel. According to Deadline, Feige will oversee all of Marvel's creative personnel, with all key film, TV, and publishing executives reporting directly to him. This also includes Marvel TV and Marvel Family Entertainment. Very curious about that. All right, let's see what we got. We have the announcement of Marvel Studios that added today, Ant-Man 3 to its movie slate. And that's going to come out. Actually, the release date I don't think did drop, but the same director, Peyton Reed, is going to come back for that one. Those were fun movies. I really enjoyed those. So keep it still, you know, Marvel, MCU, and I trust those cats. These ones I normally save for, you know, the midsection of the comic news because they're normally not that great. But I'm going to go off into several, not even tangents. Hopefully it's going to be just a smooth transition. We're going to start off with, let's hit a... these ones real quick. All right, we're going to hit a Green Lantern series is in the works for HBO Max. So HBO Max, their streaming service, will adapt Green Lantern for the small screen in a new series on the streaming service, according to Entertainment Weekly. Look, give me Hal Jordan all day long, and give me some Parallax. Like, give me the evil aspects. Give me Sinestro. Like, I always love the villains because flawed characters, to me, are great characters if done properly, though, as I just said that. HBO Max orders DC superhero high comedy from Elizabeth Banks. HBO Max has given a series order to DC superhero high, a new comedy series from Elizabeth Banks. She's a comedian, actress, writer, producer, director. She's great. I love her. And it's going to be exclusively on the HBO streaming service. All right. How do you feel about that? They're going to do it. I mean, Marvel, Disney, you know, they're doing their shows, you know, the Kate Bishop Hawkeye movie or movie show, WandaVision, you know, is going to be on there. A bunch of shows are going to be there. Winter Soldier and Captain America or Falcon, however you want to call him. So very interested in that, I guess. And Warner Brothers may develop big budget DC films for HBO Max. So hence these projects. But the same thing that Marvel is doing, DC is always still trying to play catch up for some reason. Or at least the DC cinematic universe. Like, their shows are great. Their movies are terrible. And hold on, guys, I'm getting there. Let's see, we're going to hit Birds of Prey trailer. I never got to that. Introduces Harley Quinn's new friends and foes. Geez, I don't have the date for when the release of that trailer came out. The Birds of Prey trailer, in my opinion, looks terrible. I love Harley Quinzel, but give me old school Harley Quinn, not the bullshit character you guys see. And I love her Margot Robbie, and she's gorgeous. But that's not Harley Quinn at all. Like, give me my old Harley back, and that's what I want to see. Like, that's what I want to see. And again, it looks terrible. I love Black Mask, and that's Ewan McGregor. And they announced, let me jump back to Marvel real quick, and Disney is like, they announced he's still going to reprise his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi. He's going to be Black Mask on this movie, and he can't save it. Everyone that loves Harley Quinn is going to pay to watch this movie. And if you pay attention to the DC movies in general, they're not good. Unless you're paying attention to these movies, they're not good. Speaking of not good. We just got new reports today, and this one came out a few weeks ago, but I've been absent, guys. The Batman cast, 12 Years a Slave star as the Riddler, Matt Reeves the Batman, still Robert Pattinson as Batman, has cast Paul Dano as the Riddler, though he won't be named Edward Nygma. You guys have seen him, Google him if you don't know who he is. The only movies I know him from is Looper and The Girl Next Door. That's about it. The Batman cast Big Little Lies star as Catwoman. So X-Men First Class alum Zoe Kravitz will appear as Catwoman opposite Robert Pattinson. And that one got announced a few weeks ago as well. And technically that's Jason Momoa's stepdaughter because he's married to her mom. I know it sounds convoluted. But if you guys watch the old Cosby Show, I know how convoluted is that to talk about the Cosby Show? It was great when I was growing up, but to know Homeboy was that fucked up is really weird. So anyways, these characters have been added to the cast. This one just came out today. These two, Batman, Robert Pattinson learns Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu in training photo. So the fact that Homeboy is taking it serious, like, all right, I'm going to be Batman, so I guess I got to learn how to fight. Not saying Homeboy didn't before. This one came out today as well. The Batman, Colin Farrell in talks to play the Penguin. I love Colin Farrell as an actor. He's a great actor. Colin Farrell may join Matt Reeves, the Batman, as Oswald Cobblepot, a.k.a. the Penguin. I love these calls so far. I just don't look DC Cinematic Universe. That's all I'm always worried about. Speaking of word about, Joker will pass Justice League and Man of Steel at worldwide box office. According to Forbes, Joker has so far taken in approximately, and it's almost there by now, $652 million worldwide, and already passed such other superhero films as Ant-Man and the Wasp, Logan, and is expected to break $700 million. That was at the time. This movie should be crossing the $1 billion mark this week, I believe, if it hasn't done so already. And today's November 5th, so about today, or possibly yesterday, it would have taken $1 billion. All right, now Justice League sucked, Man of Steel sucked, all those movies did suck. They were terrible. Batman v Superman, terrible. Again, I'm at ForTheVillain on Twitter. I'm at comic_syndicate on Instagram. Please, I'm at comic_syndicate1 on Twitter. Please fight me and all these guys. Please do. But now that my voice is back, we're going to talk about this. Joker is on track to become the highest grossing R-rated film of all time. which again, it's going to hit over $1 billion. All right, guys, how do we feel about the Joker movie? It's doing great. It's killing it in the box office, and that's great. That's good. We're happy, right? We're happy, right? Saw the movie, and I think I keep throwing a lot of people off with my thoughts and opinions on this movie. Let me start with the good. Cinematically shot. It's a Scorsese movie, so the shots are gorgeous. Like, the cinematography of the movie is great, and it was beautiful to watch. Let me talk about Todd Phillips. Todd Phillips did a job. He wrote the movie he wanted to write. Dope. He did a job. Joaquin Phoenix, fucking stud. I love his acting. I haven't seen him in too many roles that I dislike him in, but he did great in this role. He acted his ass off. It looked very terrible to see him so emaciated, I guess. So sucked up. Like he lost a lot of weight for this movie. Those are the goods. Those are the goods, guys. The Joker movie. Thoughts, ideas, opinions. It's a complete subjective look at the movie all across the board, guys. So if you get upset by this, honestly, I just don't give a fuck. It's definitely not something to get pissed off and worked up about. It's a great character and case study for a person suffering from mental illness. The only thing my irk is, why the fuck are you going to call it the Joker? Everyone's first response is, well, don't you think that's what the Joker is? Look, anyone working any job, a librarian, they should have called it the librarian. The trash man, the break, like call it anything. It could have been any person at any job that needs to take any sort of medication to keep them in a mental proper state. It could have worked with any fucking character, any job. But don't sprinkle fucking Wayne's across the movie and call it the Joker. And like this is his origin story. That's bullshit. And it's honestly a fucking cop-out. So Todd Phillips did a job, right? In it, he did a job. That's not even the thing that irks me. The laugh I got over really fucking quick. Joaquin Phoenix hit it out of the fucking park. He, out of all the movies I've seen this year, is one of my top candidates for Actor of the Year because he did a great job with the role. But again, if he would have been a librarian or any other fucking person day-to-day job, it's the character and case study of someone with mental illness. And if nobody can get that, and if anyone says this is the best Joker adaptation ever, look, it's a vision. I love people's vision on anything. Give me something new and original. And honestly, guess what, guys? This is new and original. The Joker in comics doesn't have an origin story yet, and they're barely going through that right now. Like, Geoff Johns is writing it currently. And as much as I love flawed characters, and I love the Joker, and I love Lex Luthor, and I love Magneto, and I love Apocalypse, and Give me Brock. Give me Venom all day long. Like, I love these flawed characters and individuals. They could have just called it anything else minus the Joker. And that everyone behind the movie is saying, like, oh, yeah, well, fuck comic book movies. They suck. Martin Scorsese is one of those cats. And he didn't want it to be a comic book movie. Here's the big difference between Disney, the Marvel MCU, and the DC Extended Universe movies. None of these movies are going to blend or mesh anymore. Like, Batman Robert Pattinson, the Batman is never going to get integrated into the Justice League now anymore. They still can't write the Flash fucking movie. Jason Momoa is going to get an Aquaman 2. Still haven't seen that movie. Still haven't seen Shazam either. those characters are not going to get introduced together. DC, what they have done is created their own quote-unquote black label. And movie-wise, it's a great fucking take. And it's going to make sense off of what I'm going to talk about still in my review. And that's going to come up right now. So again, why name it the fucking Joker? Like, just why? And everyone that wants to fight me, you know who you are. Fucking tell me, and I want you to give me a good, solid reason. Because all the bullshit I heard is not a good, solid, or valid reason. Here's my fucking valid reason. Seriously. Is why are you getting so uppity and so defensive over it? When overall, it's just a completely subjective movie. I'm right, you're right. I'm wrong, you're wrong. Your thoughts, your opinions are your thoughts and opinions. And my thoughts and opinions, guess what, are my fucking thoughts and opinions. We're both right. We're both wrong. It's just a conver-fucking-sation. There are a lot of movies. Falling Down is a great version of it, too. Like The Comedian that Martin Scorsese did do. Watch that movie, guys. That's essentially the same fucking movie. So if anyone's telling me this is the best Joker ever, it's a joke. Movie. It's a movie. It's mediocre at best. It's a case study for people with mental illness. If you guys can't figure that out, it's a subjective fucking movie. I'm right. I'm fucking wrong. That's my fucking opinion. All right, guys, that's all I got on Joker. It came out a few weeks ago, and I haven't been able to hit much because I've been, I guess, absent and sick and tardy and all that nonsense. Comic reviews. I've just got one for you guys this week. This is going to be now DC Comics is doing it right. They actually came up with DC Black Label. That's why it's like, these comics are doing so good. Let's toss something out movie-wise, cinematically, that people are going to eat up because they're going to think it's the Joker. Sorry, guys. This is still fucking writing. And this is way better than what Todd Phillips did. This is Batman Curse of the White Knight, number one. It's a continuation of Batman White Knight that Sean Murphy wrote. Sean Gordon Murphy wrote and he did the art for. I love it, first of all, because Sean Gordon Murphy is an artist naturally by trade. And he pitched DC Comics. Like, here's my pitch. How about if I write something and I really want to write, what if the Joker got rehabilitated? And what if we make Batman become the villain of the story? And essentially the first run of the series, which came out literally last year, the end of last year, I want to say it ended up. And pretty much Joker comes up with a medication, a drug, and they are at a facility where they're making, he's mass producing these fucking pills. But Joker kind of figures out, like, you know what, these pills are helping me out. Batman shows up and he's like, Bats, why don't you take them too? You know you have issues too. They've been helping me. They can help you. You're a sociopath too. You're fucking lost in your head like I'm lost in mine. Batman goes fucking nuts, gets pissed off. Gotham PD gets there. Batman starts fucking him up, kicking his ass, and almost essentially makes Joker overdose on these fucking pills, making, again, Joker off of the pills, taking as many in one shot. Kind of gets him level-headed, and he becomes rehabilitated, and he defends himself in court, and he's reading so much as he's locked away in his cell as his, you know, court date comes along, finally. And he fights Batman, and like, look around you, people of Gotham. Like, this motherfucker's destroying your fucking city. He's driving in his Batmobile on rooftop to rooftop, like, fucking shit up. Massive damage all the time. Have you guys questioned his methods? And it makes everyone come around. This is a continuation of that. It's a great story. So if you guys haven't read those or don't know what those are, go back and find the Comic Syndicate, those episodes about 50 back, and find those. But this is Batman Curse of the White Knight, number one. Sean Murphy is the writer. Sean Murphy is the artist. Matt Hollingsworth is the inker. Starts off in a sort of a medieval type setting with two new men fighting in a castle over, quote-unquote, Gotham Valley, where one of the men, Laffy, holds the king hostage now and tells this, quote-unquote, Lord Wayne of the curses and demons that lay in the forest that seduce and corrupt the people of the town. For Wayne is quick to tell Laffy he doesn't believe in curses, as he quickly dispatches and kills him straight up. And he throws him into a hole. I know it sounds weird. So like a 300, the movie 300. So yes, I know people just have giant gaping holes around their castles, but it's a thing. As Laffy falls, though, we see him laughing all the way down, where we finally now get some background on what time it is. It says Arkham Manor, 1685. The next page is a description now, as it jumps currently to Arkham Asylum today, where we get an odd interaction now between an old man and the Joker that's currently locked up there, where the Joker is in his cell, but the man is trying to make a deal with him. So he's the warden of Arkham Asylum for the most part. Yeah, director or warden, where he releases the Joker to conduct business now. But upon hearing news of the new renovations he's doing to Arkham Asylum, Joker starts flipping out and makes it very clear. He's like, well, we had to renovate this because Jack Napier had some really good ideas about the rehabilitation of fucked up people, and Joker flips out. The end of the White Knight, or White Knight, Joker runs for the mayor, and he comes so close, but he's like, let's rehabilitate all the fucking villains of Gotham, everyone, and the infrastructure, let's fix everything from the ground up, making everything, like Jack Napier, his rehabilitated self, a very humanized person. But now at the end of that run, it was Joker kind of came back. He lost all sense of the Jack Napier aspect of himself. So he starts flipping out and he's like, I hate Jack Napier for what he did. He hijacked my body. So again, the prior series, Joker now has this personal vendetta against both Batman now and Jack Napier, which is essentially himself. So now he's planning to set both of them up. For what we don't know, this is issue number one, as he gathers his stuff and mentions his plan and is knowing the city's biggest and darkest secret about the beginning and end of Gotham. So it's just funny and dope and great and badass to see how Sean Murphy, you guys really gotta pull this up. If you guys are on a computer, put it on pause real quick, put in Sean Murphy, Batman White Knight, pages, panels, Joker, Batman, and it's beautiful. But the way he always throws back to movies, to the lore, the history of Batman, the shows, all the movies, the history is just beautiful. And Joker mentions, like, it's time to show you my disappearing pen trick. So those things that he pulls from is dope. The panels then jump now to Wayne Manor, Bruce now, where he is reading a letter. Spoiler, completely, but if I did review the fuck out of the prior series already on the show. So again, you can stop this now. And if you guys are ready to go on, regardless, here you go. This is what the letter says. Bruce, I know you waited for as long as possible before reading this because you were too frightened to let me go. And because you don't know how to say goodbye. No doubt my death made you feel more alone than ever, causing you to retreat into that dark place where you think no one can find you. And you probably tried to push everyone away, convinced that only isolation would give you the strength to return. But you were wrong. And that's always been hard for you to understand, that there's no strength in being alone. I'm happy you're finally reading this, because it means Barbara and Richard are there with you, as of doubt you could have read this without them. It means you understand how their love is essential to moving forward. But most importantly, it means you're ready to say goodbye. Goodbye, my son. Alfred. P.S. Check the loose floorboard in my quarters. There's something there you're ready to see. Where he pulls off the cover, this floorboard, and pulls out a whip and a diary that reads Edmund Wayne, 1685. Next page is now we get a lot of detective work going down between Batman and Commissioner Gordon, piecing together everything that happened in Arkham Asylum, where Gordon tosses out a theory. What if Jack Napier was right? Gotham is run by, and has always been run by, a group of Gotham elites, pulling the strings, releasing inmates at random to run rampant across the city and devastate Gotham to lower the real estate value so they can purchase pieces and parts of Gotham City little by little. Batman figures out that the Warden is somehow involved. Then Batman and Gordon continue to examine Joker's cell now, where they discover a hidden passage, a sealed well with markings on the wall, and human bones like buried and scattered about, leading up to the next page and panels. So that's where they find. Next page is Nightwing masked up, but still legit working for the Gotham City Police Department. So he's got his fucking suit on, he's got like a bulletproof vest, and he's got his Nightwing suit on. He's got his Domino mask on, but he's got a Gotham PD hat on, which he just looks dope. The way Sean Murphy, you know, just draws it is fucking dope. And the way he writes this story is really fucking sick. So now it's in the Batcave, and this is Dick Grayson having a conversation with Bruce Wayne, Batman now, or Batman, I guess. So it's just real cool. This is Nightwing masked up, still legit working for GCPD, arguing with Bats now, just ripping into him, where Richard is just letting him know how he shouldn't sully the name of the Wayne legacy. Bruce is like, Batman says, Joker was right. I need to unmask myself. Like, I'm causing more trouble and damage. Like, I'm not fixing anything. And that's when Dick gets pissed off. He's like, hey, asshole, you're going to sully your whole family's name. Don't fucking talk like that. You can still fix things, but it's your family's name. You know, don't pull that into this. This is really cool. If you want to legitimize yourself, Dick tells him, then join the GTO. Help us with the Napier Initiative. You won't join because it has Napier's name on it, right? Well, that's bullshit. Napier wasn't the Joker. He was the good guy. As Batman unmasked now and answers. And if he was the good guy, what does that make me? Dick's like, that's not what I meant. I, Bruce now, with his cowl off. You want me to admit it? Fine. Napier did a lot of good. And that whole story is based on, let's make Batman the villain, and what if Joker was rehabilitated, guys? Napier did a lot of good. He exposed the corruption and the hypocrisy, and ushered in a new era for Gotham. But he took me down in order to do it. I'm not mad at Napier, I'm mad at myself. I had no excuse for getting it wrong. Dick answers, what do you mean? Batman says, look around. I had an infinite amount of wealth and resources, and I spent decades using them to pursue one single goal, to make Gotham a better place. It was my only job, and I failed. And the only reason I finally saw my mistakes was because my greatest enemy rubbed my face in them. That's why I can't join the GTO, because I don't know how long Batman has left. After this conversation, this narrative, we get introduced to a new character in this title, an older gentleman in shape with long white hair, and he's in a hospital, sitting on a hospital gurney, getting checked up. We sort of see a coat of arms tattoo on him, where the doctor now asks him questions about specific chemicals he might have come into contact with in his life. He mentions he's quit smoking, but any further questions regarding napalm or Agent Orange asked by the doctor, this man just answers simply, I can't talk about that. The doctor says, because it's classified, because of your military background, I can't talk about that. Where things get gnarly now when this doctor mentions, dude, you're a fighter, so this chemo should be fine for a man like you. And this man kind of loses it and shocked by the news and pissed off. And although he's freaked out, like, he has two friends that are there for him. And they're like, Jean-Paul, are you okay? Michael, I found him. He's hallucinating again. Just odd, yet true to the character in a weird way, where he ends up. And it's really cool because he ends up in the chapel of the hospital. Sorry, guys. So it's just a really weird, odd, powerful, beautiful visual page. Now it jumps now to Barbara and Bat's now on the case. So Barbara and Batwoman on the case now, but more her word about Bruce and Batman in general, asking him to reach out to an old friend of theirs, Leslie. And Bats, being Bats, just gets over pretty quickly and is ready to go back to work, figuring out the results of the bones that he and Gordon found in Joker's hidden room or cell. As Barbara now questions his theory behind the theory Batman is able to break down, like not just the bone fragments, but also the time in history these bones particularly came from, and how Arkham was once before Fort Arkham, belonging to Lafayette Arkham. And Barbara's like, Laffy Arkham? And he's like, yes, I found all these things. I found this whip. I found this diary. It's from the same time. And she's like, Laffy? She's like, Dad used to tell me a story all the time on Halloween to scare the shit out of me. And I love DC's Black Label because you can fucking cuss in these ones. It's Black Label for a reason. And Batman's like, Arkham was a British general who controlled Gotham Valley in the 1600s. And a vampire. And he looks at her. Hey, it's Gotham City. All kinds of weird shit happens here. And she recites this poem that all the kids knew. Every kid in Gotham knew it. Laffy Arkham in the wood, eating children when he could, underneath a moon of blood, swept away before the flood. And so that's their recollection. So, and it kind of looks like he kind of was, Laffy was a, I don't know, a Joker-ish figure. But, I mean, if he was able to be a vampire or was a vampire along with the bones and everything, Batman's able to pull the time pieces together. As Bats now continues his evaluation of the situation, Batman's like, Arkham suffered from consumption, or as we call it now, tuberculosis. The bone marrow tested positive. He also had a spinal hump. Look how the vertebrae curved below the shoulders from the arthritic inflammation. This is definitely him. Where they now piece together the time again, the signatures of the bones, the box Alfred left him, and the journal along with the whip and a new detail he found about the whip. Like, the whip is straight up made from bat leather. Just a weird, odd touch. Batman admitting now to her that he doesn't know what the Joker knows or holds, but knowing now somehow that it deals with the founding of Gotham City, along with the history of the Waynes. And guys, if you guys pick these titles up, even the first run, the first trade paperback run, always pay attention to all the details in this title, no matter big or how small. Like, look at the art and look at the details and what happens, because there's a lot of shit you can see. The visuals are gorgeous. It's worth checking out, guys. And that's the first one. He does the same thing with this run as well. So just do me a favor and try that, especially as we get a glimpse now into Jean-Paul's days. A man still working now at a church. He's a somewhat custodian. The minister comes out. You don't have to do that, Jean-Paul says. Keeps me focused. I'm here a lot. Might as well pitch in. Maybe it'll score me some bonus points with the man upstairs. Maybe he'll look past all the horrible shit I've done. As the minister walks out now with a little offer that Jean-Paul quickly denies, he's like, I've known your family a long time. If you ever need anything, he's like, I'm good. And your family has done a lot for us. If you ever need anything, I know. And kind of like those weird, just let me work mentality. And as he finishes now, the lights go out. So minister is gone. John Paul's like, Father, is that you? A man says, put that down, John Paul. You're not a janitor. You're a king. The rightful heir of Gotham. The wars, the sickness, the ghosts in your nightmares. God hasn't been torturing you. He's been preparing you. They murdered your ancestors and seized your land. And for seven generations, they sat you on your throne. JP or John Paul is like, are you an angel? The man answers, yes, I'm here to reveal your holy destiny. The truth behind your name, behind the valley. God knows you, Azrael. He needs you to take the flame so you may bring light, to correct the sin that has spread darkness through your kingdom by slaying the demon, the man whose family cursed Gotham, Bruce Wayne. Jean-Paul Valley is the name of the character. During the Nightfall run in the mid-90s, early 90s, it's pretty much Batman. Once Batman got home from a job, taking out a bunch of criminals, he finally gets home. It was set up by Bane. Bane, that's when Bane breaks his back originally, leaving Batman to quit the job. He, at the time, comes up with the best person he, in his mind, he can come up with to become, take up the mantle of Batman, and it's Jean-Paul Valley, that he thought was a good moral man. But he was one of those characters that would kill and then ask questions later. So it was really, it was a great storyline. Nightfall, all those stories were great. So to see it in the Sean Murphy verse, I don't know if that's, I guess, yeah, the Sean Murphy, the Murphy verse for the most part. It sounds weird, but homeboy can write. I love when an artist is so creative where it's like, you know what, I can pull this off. The writing too. I love the fuck out of it. All right, guys, that's my review. It's been a while. I got more reviews next week, a grip load I'm going to toss out at you. If you guys like the podcast, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, anywhere you guys can. Subscribe to podcasts. Hit me up on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. Subscribe. I believe I said that. I'm at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. Thanks for listening. This was a long one, but it's been a long time since I've been on. Catch you next week. Peace out.